All right, we're on page 147, Steps to Christ. Bottom of the page, last paragraph, it says, in his Sermon on the Mount, Christ taught his disciples precious lessons in regard to the necessity of trusting God. So we know where I'm going here, right? And the Lord blessed me with this, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I forgot about it. And then he reminded me of it today for testimony, like for fellowship hour or whatever. And she says that these lessons were designed to encourage the children of God through all ages. And they have come down to our time full of instruction and comfort. And this is the thing that I like right here, full of instruction. These lessons were designed to encourage the children of God through all ages, and they have come down to our time full of instruction and comfort. There's two ways of looking at this. Number one, they didn't have 66 books of the Bible 2,000 years ago. They were writing the last 39 or 27 books, right? And Jesus and the apostles only used the Old Testament. You know, the 27 plus the shaft, which made it 39, that, you know, hence the reason for the candlestick. But look at it this way, too. A lot of people get confused about this and wonder. Yeah, people had, you know, Christians have always had tribulations, and we know about the apostles being martyred and the patriarchs and prophets being killed as well for their faith. But when you look at the whole scheme of things, you look at how they didn't go through what we're going through. They didn't have the temptations that we have today. What they forget is these are the last days when Satan's time is short. And so he is overwhelmingly attacking all those God will use when the latter rain falls. So count it all joy, brothers and sisters, when you're attacked like this. Because, you know, just like Paul and Silas singing in prison, we're being attacked because we are his children. He is our heavenly Father. We are going to go home. We are going to make it, as long as we stay on the path. She says, the Savior pointed his followers to the birds of the air as they warbled their carols of praise, unencumbered with thoughts of care. For they sow not, neither do they reap. And yet the great Father provides for their needs. And again, like that robin that I saw that landed right in front of me and slammed its face in the ground and pulled out that nightcrawler that day. I didn't see him carrying a briefcase or punching a time clock. No, he just flew out of the sky and got something to eat. Just like the birds in the back here where I love to do my midday prayer. I have a few more birds back there than normal because, like everybody knows, I feed them birds. Now, there's plenty of that food back there for them to eat. I mean, come on, it's like maybe 2 acres of forest elongated and like thin, like half an acre wide, 2 acres long. And it's a beautiful place to be back there in prayer when you hear all those birds. And by the way, if you ever happen to be back there, because some of you do visit once in a while, and you go back there and there's no bird singing, look around. There's a reason there's no bird singing. It's either a cat is back there or a hawk or a falcon. I've never seen the eagles get out this place, but the falcon and the hawks have been out there and here, too. I've got them on camera, as a matter of fact. And so when they're around, the birds just shut up. They're not going to give away their position, right? Because they'll eat them. They'll kill them. And so she goes on to say that the Savior asks, are you not much better than they? A lot of people forget about that. Again, none of these birds back there are punching a time clock, but yet they're eating till their tummies are full every day. And even if I feed them, put a big old mound of seeds out there, they're not pigging out sitting on the edge and sitting on a couch watching TV while they're slamming all them seeds. They know about the health message, I guess. I don't know. I haven't talked to a bird. You know. But anyway, the great provider, capital P, for man and beast, opens his hand and supplies all his creatures. The birds of the air are not beneath his notice. He does not drop the food into their bills, but he makes the provision for their needs. They must gather the grains he scattered for them. They must prepare the material for their little nest. Just like when I put the seeds out there, they still have to fly over to the tray, get in that tray, and get something to eat, or jump down and get something to drink, because I have a bird bath there too. And in some of the ones, like the woodpecker, I have his food in a cage so that he can hang on there and get something to eat. He still has to dig the food out. Because that ain't easy to get. You know, it's one of those blocks of seeds that are, you know, sealed with honey or something. I don't know. And they got a bunch of worms or what do they call them? Mealworms crammed in there too, because he likes those, I guess. And peanut butter. I don't know why, but they like peanut butter. And so she goes on to say that they must feed their young. They go forth singing to their labor, for your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much better than they? Are not you as intelligent spiritual worshipers of more value than the birds of the air? Will not the author of our being, the preserver of our life, the one who formed us in his own divine image, provide for our necessities if we but trust in him? So that's part of the promises. There's hundreds of them. And we got a big promise coming up where we're going to have to remember this, because the enemy's going to do everything he can to make us forget it. I mean, look what he's been doing with this, with the Sabbath. And look at how much the Lord provides even there. The Lord makes a one-word prophetic statement where his seal is located in commandment number 4. He starts that commandment with the word remember. That is fodder for our cannons in the coming days when we're explaining to people the difference between the mark and the seal. Every one of us should have our Bibles on our cell phones and get like Esau, where you could put your own notes in there so that you can step up and show, just go right to, Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. You know, and then right there because I have it in my notes. That way I can just go all over the Bible and show the person, you know, what I got to show them in regards to the difference between the mark and the seal. And there's a reason for both. Whichever one you choose is the one you worship. Seriously. That's how easy it is. That's why Satan's getting everybody to believe lies, because the truth exposes him childishly. She goes on, Christ pointed his disciples to the flowers of the field, growing in rich profusion and glowing in the simple beauty which the Heavenly Father had given them as an expression of his love to man. He made that so we can look upon it. Have you ever watched Dr. Carl Baugh's old videos before he started preaching? Because that guy, he's got some good research in regards to the plausibility of creation. That's how he puts it. He does that in a way to prevent the atheist alarms going off. Because we know it's scientific fact, creation. But he uses the word plausible so as to get them to say, you know, take a look at this. There's a possibility that science backs this up. And he did that. And the way he showed how even the planets sing unto us. The sunset with the pinkish hue works better than melatonin. It calms humans down so they get ready for sleep. You don't believe me? Stop by and, you know, preach in an insane asylum or an extremely violent prison. Go in there and preach. When you're in there, notice the color of the walls. Yeah, even the authorities, the powers that be, know. Pink will cover a certain angstrom of pink, the color pink, will calm them down. For some reason, it's just the way the Lord designed it. And before the flood of Noah, it was never pitch black at night because of the firmament that floated above the planet. And so when the light was shining, say in China, the sun was shining in China, and we were dark here on the other side of the planet, it would be like a twilight. It would never go completely dark. And there was never any clouds either because it never rained yet. The dew took care of that, you know. And if anybody doesn't believe dew, well, everybody believes in dew. It's always out there. But every night before you went to sleep, the whole canopy of the atmosphere was pink. And it just made you tired. It's the way it's designed. Even the planets with their frequencies, the noises that they make that we call frequencies, literally sing and cause our bodies to react in a strange and wonderful way. Or the birds and the way they sing, it does the same thing. It's all for mankind. Everything he made is just for us. It's just, there was something that I, and it's in my mind now, I'm trying to remember exactly why it's there. But on trees, every tree on the planet and every leaf of every tree, especially if there's flowers involved, there's these little holes under the leaf. And those little holes are like ears or something. I don't know. The science just figured this out, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and I read the white paper on it. I thought it was pretty interesting. When the birds get up in the morning and start singing, the flowers start opening. And the leaves start generating the chlorophyll, turning on their little solar panels that every leaf is. It's just a little solar panel. And the only reason they're able to do it is because they hear the noise of the birds singing by those little holes underneath each leaf. I mean, it floored me too, but I can't remember, exactly how to describe it all. But anyway, she goes on to say here, and quoting from the Word again, that Jesus said, or he said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. The beauty and the simplicity of these natural flowers far outrival the splendor of Solomon. And that always brings me back when I was a little kid and that first time I saw that caterpillar. With all those different colors, those stripes on his body. I can't remember which caterpillar it was, but there was a caterpillar that would crawl around in the prairies of Illinois on the extreme south end of Cook County, because I found these prairies, and it would always go back all the way to the train tracks where the hobos were. And the Holy Spirit was even there protecting me. You know, the heads of angels, because some man came up to me, because I'm a little towhead, cute little 10-year-old kid, and some big dude comes walking up and says, young man, you need to get out of here. Yeah, because a bunch of his hobo friends were kind of, you know, weird. So anyway, getting back to that caterpillar, when I saw it, I just started chuckling, or even a butterfly wing, especially when I brought the butterfly wing in the house after my dad bought me that microscope. And I zoomed in on it, and I realized, wow, there are no colors at all on a butterfly wing. When you zoom in, there's none. It's all refraction. You know, like a prism, get a prism. You know, a square piece of glass, a triangle piece of glass, and shine a light on it, and you'll see a rainbow come out. It shows you all the colors of white light, or yellow light from the sun. It'll show you all the different colors, including the infrared stuff you can't see with your eye, but the bees can. When we look at a flower, we see certain colors, and it's pretty. When a bee sees it, he's got these black, like, it's kind of like a neon sign saying, hey, come on over here, tasty stuff. You know, there's amazing videos about that where they show the difference between the flowers as how we see them and how a bee sees them with infrared. And so it made me chuckle when I saw that little caterpillar with all those different colors, because I thought, like, we even to this day, we look at flowers and look at some of these animals and some of these insects. It's our God is an artist. Or just the sunset alone, the way he makes some of these sunsets out here. Because out here, it's big sky country. You can see both ends of the rainbow out here. I've recorded it more than once. Because you're literally, it's flatland Indiana, you know, this area. And so, yeah, you can see both ends of the rainbow. And then it always comes out double most of the time. Because, it's just nothing blocking it. No buildings or trees. So she goes on to say that the most gorgeous attire produced by the skill of art cannot bear comparison with the natural grace and radiant beauty of the flowers of God's creation. Jesus asks, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And he's about to clothe all of us with the latter rain and the robe of light. The robe of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. And we're going to be glowing in the coming days, brothers and sisters. And when they come up to us with weapons, we can just raise our hand, our right hand, and their weapons fall. I mean, remember when they came to arrest Jesus? He made it a point to show them. When he said, I am he, they all fainted and dropped their weapons. To prove he was willingly going to do this for us. But yet today, the scoffer says, look, Jesus could have stopped him, but no, he committed suicide. Yeah, that's how deep Satan can get into some minds to actually think that. Like the Pharisees accusing him of breaking the Sabbath when him and the apostles were, you know, rubbing corn between their hands to get something to eat out in the field. She says, if God, the divine artist, gives to the simple flowers that perish in a day their delicate and varied colors, how much greater care will he have for those who are created in his own image? This lesson of Christ is a rebuke to the anxious thought, the perplexity and doubt of the faithful or of the faithless heart. Because there's a lot of people out there that just don't believe. It's like we always say, it's like the old saying goes with the horses. You can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Yeah. You can share the truth with an atheist, but you can't make him think. Let us reason together, Jesus said. But some people just don't want to hear it. And so, but I'm going to go into page 150 here real quick just to finish it. She says that the Lord would have all his sons and daughters happy, peaceful, and obedient. Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give it, give I unto you. And what does he mean by that? Well, look, they say, well, we're going to have peace. You know, like when Trump was president, no wars, right? We didn't start any wars. And there's been times of peace. I mean, Solomon's time, all that peace, you know. But that's still national peace. That's nothing compared to the peace you have in your heart when you see things going crazy. And you know the world's coming to an end and some of your loved ones aren't ready. You still have peace because you know you're ready. And you're going to do your best to share with them. And we also know that Sister White even said that our Lord can do something in one moment that we can't do in a lifetime to try to reach those we love. So keep praying for them. And so again, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And now look what he says next. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Even death can't scare Christians. You want proof? Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Not an advisable book to read, but if you want to see people literally singing while the Vatican priests and popes were burning them alive, yeah. Even torture wouldn't prevent the love of Christ leaving our hearts, our love for Christ leaving our hearts. It wouldn't happen. And if you can't handle it, don't worry. There's a promise a lot of people forget about in 1 Corinthians 10:13. You won't be tempted above the ability, your ability to handle it. If you're going to fall by this temptation, the Lord won't allow it. Satan's going to have to skedaddle. And then she finishes by quoting the word again, which is from John 14:27. She says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And I think that's about as far as I want to go with that, because I would suggest everybody, of course, read Steps to Christ at least once a year. It's an enjoyable book, and her writings are like scripture. It's inspired, and so you're going to see things you didn't see last year. You know, I've been reading the Bible 40 years, and I still get up in the morning, and when I read it, I go, whoa, how did I miss that last year? You know, it's just amazing how he does that, and I hope and pray you were blessed by what was shared during this fellowship hour.